Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
If you would, open your Bibles up to Proverbs. I want to go to the 19th chapter, Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to pick up this morning where we left off last week in our series topic of words. Proverbs chapter number 18. And when you arrive there, just say amen. And as always, we want to welcome our audience that's watching live.wogm.com. Whether you're at work or on station, we're glad that you're able to be a part of our worship this morning. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 18. You arrive there, say amen. And we want to drop down and look at it beginning in verse number 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips or his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let's read verse 21 out loud together. Ready? Read. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In light of what we've read, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we do acknowledge him right now as our teacher and as our leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for those that would be under the sound of my voice at this precise moment. For those here in this assembly, those watching live by television, media ministry, podcast, Father, I pray that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, conviction, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that your spirit might speak by me and your word be on my tongue, that I might sketch your word on the hearts and minds of these your people, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. We read before the prayer, and I want to go back and take a look at this. We read before the prayer in Proverbs 18, where verse 20 gives this analogy of a man eating with his mouth and his belly being filled, and he goes on to say that our lives will be filled with the increase of our lips. In other words, you'll fill your life with what you say. It's easier to get words out of your mouth than it is to get them out of your life. So if you don't want them in your life, don't let them out of your mouth. That's a good word, amen? We've all said something we wish we could take back. But words are like toothpaste. When you squeeze it out of the tube, it's almost impossible to get it back in there. Verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, love what? They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Love what? Love the power of the tongue. The Bible says that if you love the power of the tongue, the authority of the tongue, then be ready to eat the fruit of whatever it is that you say. Now, God's word says here that death and life are in the power of what we say. James chapter 3 talks about how that our mouth can speak blessing and cursing. It can speak life and it can speak death. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 teaches that we all can choose life, death. We can all choose blessing and cursing. And the Word tells us to choose life. And that choice, what we've got to recognize is that God has given us the ability to choose. And the choice that we make is with the words that we use. I'm going to read verse after verse this morning to make this case that you and I have got to get sensitive to what it is that we're saying. Now, there's basically three things I want to cover in this series, so you'll know how far we're advancing in this topic, because there's basically three things that I want to accomplish underneath this series. Number one is I want to show you that words are consequential, that words are consequential. There are consequences to what we say. We have this idea that we can say anything and not mean it and this, that, and the other, but words are consequential. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 8 teaches that there are two spiritual laws that are always in motion. That there are two spiritual laws that are always in motion. Not like the law of God, a list of do's and not to do's, but the laws like gravity. The law of gravity is a natural law that works the same for anybody and everybody. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, or any natural characteristic, the law of gravity will work for you if you test it. If I jump off this platform, the law of gravity will work for me. I won't hit the ceiling, I assure you. Now, there are laws that God has implemented in the earth, and there are two laws that are in operation all the time. And those laws, according to Romans 8, are the law of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. So you have two laws at work, the law of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. And I'm going to show you that our words tap one of those two laws and bring us up underneath one of those two laws. So we're going to be studying that. The consequential power of our words, their consequences to what we say. The second thing that I want to deal with, or not necessarily in this order, but a second thing we're going to deal with in the series, is the creative power of words. The creative power of words. Words have creative power whether you recognize it or not. God created the heaven and the earth with his words. Genesis 1 verse 3 says, and God said. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Drop down to verse 31, and God saw. What did God see? He saw what he said. And he made man in the image of himself. God made man in his own image. That means if man was made in the image of God, we bear attributes, we bear characteristics, we bear qualities that came from our Creator because we were created by God. We were made in his image. Therefore, that explains how man has a conscience, how man has convictions, how man has intelligence, because God made man in his own image. Now, if you want to believe that some mass, that we don't know where that mass came from, blew up 13 billion years ago, but we don't know where that stuff was, where it came from that actually blew up, and then the explosion caused all the galaxies of the universe to come into existence, and it just so happened that of all the billions of galaxies and all the billions of planets, there's only actually one planet that's ever been shown to have life on it, which is Earth. If you want to believe that somehow or another there was some sea sponge that natural material somehow or another came alive. It just came to life. A rock just came alive. Water just came alive. Evolved into sponge. Evolved into a fish that somehow or another decided he was going to get out of the water and miraculously grew gills. I mean, turned his gills into lungs so he could breathe when he got out of the water, and then became a duck and a kangaroo and a gorilla and whatever until he finally became a man. If you want to accept all that, help yourself. But I believe that there is a divine creator. His name is Elohim. He created the heavens and the earth. And when he made man, he didn't evolve him from some monkey. He created man in his own image, and that man was intelligent from the time that God created him. And if God has been made if God made man in his own image, then there are characteristics that are inside of man. That doesn't mean that we're like God. I've had folk go crazy when I say stuff like this. Listen, we were made in the image of God, and God creates with his words. You and I have a power to create with your words. You may have never heard that. You may have not ever known that. But that's why you're in the house of God today, so that you can learn this, that you can create with your words. Jesus gave this principle again and again, and we're going to study it. The power of what we say. You couldn't even be saved today had you not confessed Jesus and your salvation. God has put the creative power of words in every one of us, and you can build your life by what you say. Some folk have done it all their life. They blabbered about everything. I'll never make it. I'll never get that job. I'm going to lose that job. And then brag when they have what they say. They'll say, didn't I tell you I'd lose that job? Yep, there you go, Mr. Creator. You can be creative with your words, or you can be destructive with your words. And the last thing that I want to talk about in this series is the connecting power of words. The connecting power of words. So words are consequential, words are creative, and words are connectors. Now, with every one of those, there's a negative side. And we've got to see that. Consequential, there's two laws that are operation, life and death. Creative, you can be creative with your words, or you can be destructive with your words. Connecting, you can use your words to connect with God, connect with each other, or you can use your words to disconnect from God or to disconnect from each other. But our words have power, and we've got to harness this power by the Spirit of God. Amen? If you would, come over to Psalms. And I want to go to the 100th division of Psalms. Now, God chose the avenue of His Word to connect with you and I. We connect with God through the avenue of His Word. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's Jesus. God has connected to you and I through the avenue of His Word. You know, I wouldn't want to come to church. Personally, I wouldn't want to come to church and hear somebody's sermon. But I'll come to church and hear the Word. Give me the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that connects me to God. If you read what Jesus did in 3.5 years of ministry, He shared the Word of the Father. If you look at what the church did from Pentecost all the way forward, they went and shared the Word of God. Somehow another religion came in and took the Word out and put mess in, and that explains the failure of religion. But listen to me, when we begin to put the Word of God first, there's no way there's going to be a regression. There's no way death can come when it's about the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, we're going to make sure, at least for this house, it's going to always be about His Word. His Word is how people connect with God. So watch this in Psalms 100. Because not only has God reached out to man with His Word, let me just establish this a little bit better before we read it. But not only, you know, has God connected you and I with His Word, but He's calling for you and I to connect with Him through our words. Words connect. I'll give you an example of this, and I think I mentioned this last week. But when man sinned against God in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam sinned against God, God came after Adam and He said, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Where art thou?" God was connecting with Adam. "Adam, where art thou?" God was using His Word to come and to pull fallen man back into a relationship with Him. His words brought a connection. It brought a message of reconciliation. "Adam, I still love you. Adam, I still want you. Adam, I'm ready to save you. Adam, what has you running from me? Adam, where art thou?" So God connects with man through His Word. That's how He connected with you and I. When the day you got saved, ever how you got saved or whatever, wherever you were at, somebody delivered the Word of God to you. If it wasn't but one verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." But that Word came, and you responded to God calling out to you, and then a connection was made, and you had a relationship with God. See, my role here at Word of God is not to bring you into a relationship with me. Whether you ever have a relationship with me or not doesn't matter. My job as a pastor is to bring you into a relationship with God. I had a member tell me the other day that somebody told them, well, I wouldn't go to that church. That pastor don't even know you exist. I recognize you're here. That's why I'm sharing to you the word of God. But listen, whether or not I ever become your babysitter, that's not going to change your life. My role is to bring you into a relationship with Jesus. Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost and opened the church, and 3,000 were there on opening day. 3,000. I don't believe Peter knew everybody's name, but he preached the word of God that brought salvation and deliverance to those people. I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, somebody told me not to join your church because if I died, you wouldn't preach my funeral. I said, well, look, let's put this together. Don't join because if you die, I wouldn't preach your funeral. If you're dead, you ain't going to care who's preaching your funeral. I preached a funeral yesterday. I preached funerals, but why are you worrying about death? Let's get caught up with life. I wouldn't join a church because of what they're going to do at my funeral. What are you going to do with my life? Well, does that church have a graveyard in the back? No, we don't have no graveyard. But there's other folk that do buy one. I'm not going to call it with death. I'm here for life. Words connect people to God. Words are powerful. But you and I are not only called to respond to his word in order to be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. We are saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. You couldn't be saved without faith. Where does faith come from? It comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is faith that saves. You cannot be saved outside of faith. The first time the word righteousness shows up in the Bible, let me plug our Wednesday night services. If you're not getting here on Wednesday, get here. We get in the word of God. It's like Sunday, a Sunday service, but it's on Wednesday. Don't miss it. But we talked about this past Wednesday. The first time the word righteousness shows up in the Bible, it shows up with Abraham in Genesis 15:3, and it says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. There is no righteousness. There is no salvation outside of faith. And you can't have faith till you have heard from God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's no salvation till you hear. Read Romans 10:8-17. He's putting the emphasis on this word being preached so that you can hear the word, believe the word, and confess the word. And he makes it clear in verse 14 of Romans 10 that you can't confess what you have not believed, and you cannot believe what you have not heard. So you got to hear the word, believe the word, and confess the word to be saved. But there is no believing and there is no confessing until you have heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God chose the avenue of you hearing his word to save those of us, Adams, that would hear that voice and respond and call out to God for salvation. So that's how he connects with us. But listen, you and I need to learn how to connect with God. He's connected with us, but we've got to connect with him. Hallelujah. And that word that we hear gave birth to a relationship. Not only are we saved by faith, but Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38 all say the just shall live by faith. So not only am I supposed to be saved by faith, I'm supposed to live by faith. Well, what's faith? Where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So my life, I live by hearing his word. What's God saying? You got to live connected to me. You got to live hearing from me. What did he say? Man shall not live by, help me somebody, bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There is no life with God when you don't have the word of God in your life. That's what connects us to God. Hallelujah. Y'all done messed around and got me stirred up in here now. Hallelujah. Job said that he esteemed the word of God greater than he did his daily food. That's what Job said. He said, I don't forget to eat and I don't forget your word. The word of God in the Bible is compared to milk. It's compared to honey. It's compared to butter. It's compared to bread. It's compared to meat, things that we eat. God's saying, compare my word to things you can't do without. Compare my word to things that you can't live without. His word is what gives us a connection with him. There is no life with God outside of his word. Amen. Now listen, that's number one. That's priority. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday. Every day, his word. But watch this. We are called to connect with God by words. You wouldn't believe the number of people that I've ministered to through the years that were going through something. And instead of going through, they were always going through. So if you're going through, see, if I'm going through Logansport, I can't stop and still be in Logansport 8 years later. Hey, nothing against Logansport. But if you're going through Logansport, then you need to either end up in Texas or somewhere. Don't be going through. Where you at? I'm in Logansport. Well, what are you doing? I'm just going through. You said that 3 days ago. It don't take me 3 minutes to go through Logansport. But there are many people that are going through, but you never actually get through. But the reason I bring this up is because in the midst of hearing from these people, I've heard them say, when I come back and say, well, look, have you prayed about this? Well, I don't really know what to pray. Ask him anything. Just ask something. How are you going to get through when you won't connect with the one that knows how to get you through? Luke 18, Jesus taught that a life of prayer is a life of faith. And his prayer was in Luke 18, Jesus, was that when he returned to the earth, that he would still find faith on the earth. And that was written in the context of people praying. I know I said all that real fast, but I need you to get what I just said. Jesus in Luke 18 said when he returned, he prayed that he would find faith on the earth. And the example that he gave was people praying. God calls that faith when you pray. That's how we connect with God. That's how we connect with God. You connect with God with your words, just like you would connect with your spouse with your words. Could you imagine having a relationship with your wife or with your husband and you don't speak words, you don't say anything? You cannot connect when you don't speak. Landon was telling me about his mother and father. And if you know the Terrells, you know they are like the most amazing people in all the world. You meet his family, you're like, that's the family I want. I mean, the Waltons would be embarrassed by the Terrells. I'm telling you, they're just a beautiful family. And he was telling me that every morning since he can remember, his mom and dad wake up every morning, said that his daddy makes his mama coffee, because he don't drink coffee, but he makes his mama coffee, and they sit down and they talk for an hour or two, and that's how they've started every day for as long as Landon's been alive. And you know what? You see that couple, you see life. You see that family, you see just, it's like, that's the kind of marriage I want. No wonder they communicate. You can't have effective relationships when there is no connecting through communication. And you can't have an effective relationship with God when you never talk to him, when you never seek him, when you never speak to him, when you never pray. There are two things that I want you to get a hold of when it comes to your relationship with God and connecting with God. Number one, prayer. And not just prayer, but pray the word. Pray the word. When we leave church today and we go get something to eat, because I'll be hungry after preaching two services, I'd be hungry after preaching one, be honest with you. Matter of fact, I'd be hungry if I didn't even preach. I'm just always hungry. Ain't no sense in me being deep. But we'll go eat, and my son or my kids, at least the oldest, is going to ask me if we can do something today, I assure you. There's going to be something that I'm going to be asked, can we do this today? And I love it that my kids want to be engaged. They want to do things, shoot a game of basketball or whatever it is. And I'm going to say, you know, yes, we'll do that today. And I can guarantee you before the end of the day, they're going to come back and say, Daddy, you said. Daddy, you said we're going to do this today. Daddy, you said we'd have a game of basketball today. Daddy, you said this today. And see, when they say, Daddy said, I'm stuck. Because I'm not a daddy that I should lie. If I spoke it, I'm going to make it good. If I said it, I'll bring it to pass. Now, I'm not the one that said that. God said that in Numbers 23 and 19. But the most powerful prayer you'll ever pray is when you tell God what he said. A, that says God, that says to God, I've heard from you. And B, I'm bringing to you what you said. The most powerful prayer you'll ever pray is to pray the word of God in the authority of the name of Jesus. Prayer connects you to God. There is no connecting to God without prayer. There are too many people that say, well, the Lord knows my heart. Listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I am convinced that any failure in life is a prayer failure. So use the power of your words and pray. God said in Luke 18:7, shall not God avenge his own which cry night and day unto him, though he bear long with them? What's God saying in Luke 18:7? He's saying, if you call on me, you're going to get an answer from me. Use the power of your words and connect with God. I'm not talking about a friend down the street. I'm not talking about a good neighbor like State Farm or whoever else. I'm talking about the God of the universe. I'm talking about the one who saw darkness and said light. I'm talking about the one in him we live and move and have our very being. And he gave you and I the audacity to be able to come before him. He actually said, you can call on me. You think that a God, you would think that a God that big would say, don't even call me. Don't ask me nothing. Don't come to me. I'm God. Leave me alone. But this God says, call me and I will answer thee. Call me and I will show you great and mighty things. He's beckoning you and I to call on him. Second, number two, don't just pray, praise. Are you in Psalm 100? When we praise God, we connect to God. When we praise God, we connect with God. Say that out loud. When we praise God, we connect with God. When you get out of praise, you disconnect. So this morning at 8 o'clock and this morning at 10:30, I did something you'll be seeing me do for the next few weeks, maybe months and years. I went through the foyer before service, not just to shake hands and say good morning and hello, but to ask folk who were sitting around, lounging around, why aren't you in praise service? Church has begun. Now, let me help everybody real quick, because we've all been to a wedding. We've all been to a wedding that didn't start on time. Bride wasn't there. Brother-in-law didn't show up. Best man went back after the ring. We've heard it all. I've done the weddings. I know. I tell everyone that I do premarital counseling with, I say, look, one thing about me, that wedding will start on time. So whatever you got to get in order, you better be ready. If you say that wedding's going to start at 4, at 4 o'clock, I'm waiting on a bride. It better be one. Folk don't want to come to your wedding and sit around for 30 minutes. They didn't even want to come. I'm being real with you. They sure don't want to be in there and it's running 30 minutes late. We've all been to a funeral, didn't start on time. And we've been to churches that didn't start on time. Let me tell you something about Word of God ministry. Been this way from the beginning, it'll be this way till I die. Or Jesus comes. We're going to always start on time. Matter of fact, there's a big clock that's counting down on all the monitors that tells you it's getting ready to start. If you want to know when church is going to start, it's going to start on time. If you don't have a watch, look at all these monitors around here. They will tell you, and I'm telling you, that our 10:30 service, when that clock strikes 10:30, you're going to hear the band crank it up and Jeremiah start singing. So you don't have to worry about it. We're going to start on time. So don't come late thinking, well, they ain't going to start on time. No way. At Word of God Ministries, we always start on time. Now listen, number two. Don't be looking at your clock talking about, oh, he ain't preaching yet anyway. We still got 30 minutes. Because then what happens is you've missed worship, and now we can't hardly find you a seat. Now, I'm glad you came, and I'm not trying to poke at nobody that got here late. I'm glad you made it. Glad you're here. I'm just saying we need to make it a point that we are going to connect with God through praise when we gather in his house. See, if you don't connect with God in praise, then, and you say, I only come to church to hear the word, then when the word comes forward, you're saying, okay, God, connect with me. God, connect with me. Here I am. Feed me. Minister to me, God. I need some more word. I got some problems. I need some wisdom. I need some results. I need a breakthrough. Come on, God, give it to me. Here I am. I got my notebook ready. I need all my answers. Give it to me, God. I'm ready. But praise is not about God give me anything. It's about God, you've been so good to me. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the clothes on my back. I want to thank you for the clothes I wear, the shoes on my feet. I want to thank you that I ate this morning and I had a house to sleep in last night. I want to thank you for my family, for their health. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me, Lord. You've been better to me than I could have been to myself. Thank God. Thank God. That connects you to God. That's you being proactive in a relationship with him. And then now when you have praise and you connect with God, now when the word comes forward, you've already begun this and God can reciprocate what's been done. You've connected with him, he connects with you, and now you've got everything you needed at church. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like our worship pastor. Well, I happen to love him. But here's the thing. You ain't worshiping him. Well, I don't like them songs. I don't know the words. We put them on two big screens. Well, I want to sing some old school gospel. The Bible says sing a new song. Sing a new song. A new song is a greater sacrifice because you have to put more into it. Well, I would come in there if they would sing I Surrender All. I Surrender All. There ain't never been a hymn like I Surrender All. Got saved under I Surrender All. If they'll sing I Surrender All, I'll come on in there. Jeremiah shared this with me this morning. Here's the thing. When I was a little boy, my daddy took me fishing on Toledo Bend down in Zawale, Louisiana at Martinez Landing. What you say? Home of the hot tamales. Thank you, Jesus. And we went out fishing, our little boy, and I grabbed out of his tackle box this big old gaudy bass bait. And I thought that thing was the thing. And I put that bait on, and we went to a certain spot, and I cast that bait, and I caught me a big old bass, a big old big mouth bass on Toledo in Louisiana, and there ain't nothing better than that right there. Well, every time we went fishing after that, I wanted my daddy to go back to that same fishing hole where we caught that bass, and I always wanted to use that same bait. Now, let me tell you something. I never caught another bass in that big old ugly gaudy bait. The only thing I can figure is that particular day, that bait must have hit that bass in the head and made him mad and he went after it. Because I couldn't get a bass to move on that bait ever again for the rest of my life. But if I only connected bass fishing with that spot and that bait, I would have never caught another bass. And that's what many have done with certain songs. There was a certain song that you got saved to, a certain song that you connected to, and now in your mind, there's no other bait that would catch your fish but that one. But you're missing out on all the other bait and all the other fish and all the other moves of God because you won't get past that one. Hallelujah. That's my fishing praise parable. I don't know how that fit, but that's the best I can do. Watch Psalms 100 to get there. Say amen. Amen. Quit connecting praise to your niece because she's on program today. I'm going to the church. My niece is on program today. You ain't been in church. You going to church because your niece is on program. That's why so many churches got all in programs. Only they can get somebody to church. But you ain't going to come back next Sunday because only usually there that Sunday because of the program. Niece on program, going at church. You ain't going back next week unless she gets back on program again. And we've gotten programmed that if we don't know who's singing, if that's not our sister, cousin, neighbor, whoever, then we don't. Listen, this is not entertainment. We don't do ABC selections. This is not for your entertainment. Sitting out in the foyer watching it on a high-definition television like, where the popcorn? Get yourself up in here and praise the Lord. We're not on TV for you to be entertained. Hallelujah. So don't worry about who it is that's singing. You're not singing to them. They're just leading us in praise. You sing to God. You speak to God. If you don't know the words, make a joyful noise. But you use your words in praise to connect with God. Watch this in Psalms 100. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Bless his name. Empower, make big, laud, applaud his name. Shout his name. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Lift his name. God is enthroned in our praise. Lift his name. God is saying, connect with me with your words. Connect with him. You've been given the power. We, by the blood of Jesus, can enter God's presence with boldness. Hebrews 10:19. Use that power and come before the King with your words. Words of honor. Words of praise. Hallelujah. Connect with God. You know, your victory could be locked up in your praise. Come over to Psalm 50. Think about Jonah in the belly of the great fish that Jesus told us was a whale. He's in that belly seeing the very bars of death. Then all of a sudden it hit him that his only way out of the belly of that whale was to praise God. And the Bible says he began to praise God from the belly of the great fish. And when he did, the Bible said that God spoke to the fish and told it to spit Jonah out on dry land, on dry ground. You had a beached whale also that Jonah could land on ground. And he got there because God told him to, in response to how Jonah had connected with him through praise. Paul and Silas, Acts 16, in the center of the jailhouse, locked hand and feet, going to be executed the next morning. But the Bible says at midnight, their prayer and their praises were heard of all the inmates as they connected with God. What did God do? Send an earthquake and an angel to loose them from their bonds. Listen, we have to connect with God. And quit trying to get somebody else to connect for you. He wants you to connect. You don't have to wait till you get to your prayer group and say, would y'all pray? Pray. When you get to the prayer group, you can have them pray too, but pray for yourself. All right, watch this, Psalm 100. I get to hollering and stuff. Y'all probably think I'm mad. I'm not mad. I can't help it. I get fired up and I just go off. And I don't mean nothing ugly or anything. I'm just trying to help you. Tired of God's people being broke down. I'm tired of defeated people. It's time for us to rise up in the name of Jesus and be everything we've been destined to be. And I believe that if we could get the right information, if we could just stop wasting our time with a bunch of ignorance, if we could just get the word of God, if we just break the shackles of religion and man-made tradition and quit worrying about, well, I got baptized there, I can't leave there. Quit connecting everything to a place and start connecting your life to a man named Jesus. Make it bigger than that thing. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to be your everything. I don't want to be your anything. I don't want to come to church and see if I can connect you to me. My job is not to connect you to me. My job is to connect you to Jesus. My job is to connect you to God. Hallelujah. Psalms 50, verse 23. There, say amen. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, God says, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Let's read that verse out loud again, because that's powerful. Ready? Read. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. God is saying, I will show you my salvation when you get your mouth right. Now, I want to show you how powerful that is in Isaiah 59. So turn over to Isaiah 59, because God said, if you get your conversation right, I'll show you my salvation. But we want to say anything and do anything. We want to stay mute in our prayers, and then we want God to work because he knows we're going through. No, he's given us a mouth, and death and life are the power of it. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I thought about this the other day. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Have you ever said something really stupid, but you said it bold? I have, so I'm lifting my hand. I know I probably shouldn't use the word stupid in here on TV and all that, and I don't let my kids use the word stupid, so forgive me for using that word, but we've done it. Have you ever said something just ignorant, foolish, and you said it with boldness? And it almost went over real good because you put so much emphasis and power behind it. It's like you wanted people to receive it, so you just forced it out. And all you did was just make a bigger mess of yourself. They that love the power of the tongue shall eat the fruit thereof. Don't speak the word. Hear me. You got to hear me. Don't speak the word of God in a defeated fashion. Well, I went to the doctor. Yeah, they found something. I knew it was there. And I don't know what we're going to do.
But like the pastor said Sunday, prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, how come you got to lower your voice and break it down? How are you doing? Oh, I'm not doing real good. This has been going on, and that's been going on. This has been going on. This has been going on. That's going on. This going on. But he gives peace that goes beyond my understanding. How come you got to sound defeated when you speak the word? Listen, don't just speak the word to be speaking it. Speak the word with authority. That's what they noticed about Jesus in Luke 4, is that when he spoke the word with authority. We've spoken some other stuff with authority that we should have never said in the first place. Why not speak the word of God with authority? Don't speak the word of victory out of a defeated tone. That's good stuff right there. Speak his word in the authority in which it was spoken. Don't sing his praise out of a defeated mindset. Lord, you're able. Come on, can we get a little? You gave more to the saints when they were playing than you're giving Jesus right now. I've seen you shout louder for Drew Brees. Can somebody help me in the house of God today? If you're going to praise him, praise him. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, we should lift up a voice of triumph. Now, in other words, not only should our words be victorious words, but they should sound like victorious words. I've got the victory. No, I've got the victory. Hallelujah. So watch this. Are we still in wherever I told you? I don't even know what I told you. Isaiah 59. Watch this. I can't wait for you to see this verse. Watch this. You've got to see this verse right here. This verse, oh man, this is awesome. Best thing to do is read it. Watch this. Behold. I mean, you got to see this. So if anybody's getting ready to go to the bathroom or anywhere, don't move. Just stay still till you finish this verse. You have to see this. Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save? Amen. I believe that. Watch this. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Do you believe God hears your prayers? Amen. So that's not the problem. It ain't that he can't hear. And it ain't that he can't save. It's not that he can't hear, and it's not that he can't save. Amen? Amen. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. So sin will separate us from God. But watch what else he spends the rest of these two verses emphasizing. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. And when something is perverse, that means it's twisted or wicked or turned, not in line with truth or his word. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Now I want to emphasize verses 4, 3, and 4. So watch how I'm going to do this. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, but your lips and your tongue have muttered perverseness. God's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, but your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. The point I'm making here is God is saying it's not that my arm is short. It's not that my ear is deaf. It's that you're not saying the right things. I cannot respond to the stuff that you are saying. Now, that's in line with Psalms 50, verse 23, where God said, if you would align your conversation with right words, I would show you my salvation. So God is saying, you are hindering me from showing you my salvation because you won't say the right things. Come over to Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Real quickly, go to Malachi chapter 3. And I'm not going to talk about tithing here, so don't get nervous. I love Malachi 3 because I'm seeing it manifest in my life.
So there's no reason to be afraid of Malachi 3 unless you're not honoring God in that area. But watch this. I want to show you something. Malachi 3:13. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake when I get there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? When do we walk mournfully? When we speak with our mouth contrary to his word. Everything changes when we don't line our words up with God. When I first got saved and I'd walk through the doors of the church on Sunday morning, there was a sister, and I'm not lying. After a few weeks, I learned to stay away from her. She was an older lady, and I wanted to be nice and kind and cordial, you know. Good morning, sister so-and-so, and how you doing? And then she would keep, I almost missed her. She'd talk about arthritis and this right here and how a child hadn't called and all this going on, and the electric bill was too high, and she knows she didn't use that many light. And all. I'm like, oh, man. Whoo, good Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Man, it got to the point that when I walked through the door and saw her, I just said, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. And I just get on by this as fast as I can. Because I got so tired of hearing all that defeat and all this, that, and the other. And the city cheated me on my water bill. I mean, come on, we're in the house of God. Can we just praise the Lord up in here? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We can tear ourselves down with our words, or we can build ourselves up with our words. And God has said, look, you're disconnecting from me because of the things that you're saying. I want to give you this verse. It comes from the book of Job, and I'm getting ready to close. Watch this. Job said this in chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. He said, teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. And then he says this in verse 25, and I love it. He says, how forcible are right words? How forcible are right words? But what doth your arguing reprove? How forcible are right words? Say this out loud. The right words have force. Glory to God. Jesus' words are right, and they have force. He stood in that synagogue in Luke chapter 4, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to proclaim the gospel. And he went out of there and began to deliver. He began to heal and make people free. And the record of him was this in Luke 4, that his words were with power. I want you to know today that we've been given the same word and we've been given the same Holy Ghost, that you and I could be able to fill our lives with the power of speaking the right words. His words did this according to Isaiah 61 verse 3. They appointed, they brought beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise to the spirit of heaviness. Why? That God might be glorified. You read that in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. So why was Jesus anointed to speak his word? What was the result of that anointing? That we could have beauty for our ashes, that we could have joy for our mourning, that God would be glorified through us. That's him connecting with us through his word and telling us what the result of our life will be when we have made a connection with God through the avenue of his word. That your ashes could be turned to beauty, that your mourning could be turned to joy, that we could be turned into literally another man, just as Saul was in 1 Samuel chapter 10 when Samuel said, look, Saul, go find what the prophets are saying and prophesy with them until you're turned into another man. You want to change your life? Change your mouth. You want to change your future? Change what you're saying. Your destiny is in your mouth. Your power is in your tongue. Just like David when he went out there to face Goliath. He said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. And sure enough, God manifested his word in David's life. You and I have got to begin to harness the power
of connecting with God through the avenue of our words. Every single day, you have the power in your car, in your closet, in your home to connect with God through the avenue of your word. Don't you live without that connection. You connect with God. Call upon me, he said, and I'll show you great and mighty things. Hallelujah. His word has given us a promise that if we seek, we'll find. If we ask, it'll be given. If we knock, the door will be open. Sometimes you got to ask and keep on asking. That's the point he made in Luke chapter 8. But don't you pull back. Don't you withdraw from your connection with God. Praise him in your circumstance. Praise him in your situation. You know how we get in trouble? We say, hey, do you know somebody down at so-and-so? Do you know somebody? Do you know somebody? We always looking to find out if somebody knows somebody. Honey, you don't need to know if somebody knows somebody. You know somebody. Connect with the somebody that you already know. Hallelujah. How can we live? How can we move? How can we have life eternal or abundant when we're living disconnected from God? God said, my hand's not shortened that he can't save. My ear is not deaf that I can't hear. Your words are messing this up. Your words. So may we fulfill Psalm 19 and 14, and the words of our mouth be acceptable in his sight. Hallelujah. Think about how God is connected with you and I through the avenue of his word. Think about all, you know, think about where you would be had God not connected himself through his word. I don't like the me that I'd be if he had he not given me his word. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't like the me that would be had he not said, James, where art thou? I'm glad that when man sinned from the very beginning, it was God saying, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? I'm so glad he's reached out to me. You do know we heard from him before he ever heard from us. You do know the only reason we had enough sense to call out on him was we were in response to him already calling on us. You know the day you accepted Christ, his spirit was already speaking to you. That word had already come forward through some minister or some soul winner. We were responding to him crying out to us, and a divine connection was made that changed our lives throughout all eternity by the power of him connecting with us through his word. Hallelujah. Listen, whether you ever get connected with a building, whether you ever get connected with a steeple, whether you ever get connected with a denomination, all that don't ever matter. It's your connection with God through the avenue of his word that makes the difference. Secondly, are you connecting with God? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you poured your heart out in worship? I'm not talking about being entertained. I'm talking about pouring your heart out in worship where you're worshiping God and you're connecting with him through the avenue of your word. Lord, I need you. Lord, in you I live and move and have my very being. You can't connect with him and he not respond. You can't call out and he not answer. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that when we were in sin and that when we were lost, you connected with us through the avenue of your word. Thank you. When we were saved, but living in defeat, ready to give up on our marriages and ready to give up on life, you gave us your word. You connected. You gave us hope. You gave us faith. And it was like we got saved all over again. Oh, hallelujah. There's something to opening up your Bible at 1 in the morning and reading Psalm 91. There's something to being broken and discouraged
and feeling defeated, but opening up your Bible to the book of Psalms and just beginning to read and relating to those words that the Holy Spirit gave David. Tears and faith and praise begin to mingle as you begin to pray. God, help me. Save me from the mess I've gotten myself in. Throughout our life on earth, since Adam, God's been trying to reconnect with man, and he's done it with his word. Today in your heart, have you received him? Have you embraced Jesus? Oh, you may have known him, but are you connecting now? It's his word. It's his word. It's his word. God, I pray, connect with us again. Draw the lost. Draw the broken. May your word be heard out of our mouths. May your word be heard in our lives. May we hunger to hear from you like we've never hungered before. You stop living your life by words spoken by men who disconnected you from your destiny with words of defeat and failure and hate. And today, embrace a word that will bring eternal and abundant life from a God who's been reaching out to you. I really believe with all my heart that the Lord's telling me to say this to somebody. Connect with him. Not a place. My daddy would say, son, let me take you over here to this bank. And I'd say, no, daddy, I caught that bass over there. I didn't realize at a young age that bass swam. They didn't stay in one spot. Quit connecting God to that one place in your life, that one moment in your life. He wants to have a daily walk with you. And make a decision to connect with him. Say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Sure you do. Sure you do. Our Father says, you can call me Abba. Means daddy. Do you know how to talk to your daddy? Pretend you're talking to your daddy. You say, daddy, I need you. I've messed my marriage up. I've lost my job. I got bills I can't pay. I'm depressed. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need you to forgive me, and daddy, I need you to help me. And I'm telling you that there's a God in heaven that's waiting on men and women to connect with him. His arm's not shortened that it can't save. His ear is not deaf that he can't hear. It's that we're not asking. I had a member tell me the other day, he said, I needed a job, and I went down to the altar and prayed with one of your prayer ministers and said, would you pray that with me that I can get a job? And got the job that week. Connect. Connect.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.